Coming up this week on the Rock for Him podcast, we talk with author and Behold the Beloved manager, Kelly Green.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Rock for Him podcast. I'm Jeremy, your host, a.k.a. The Big Boy, and with me are my two brothers, my good friends, Riker. How's it going, bro?
It's going good. Monday nights, favorite day of the week, favorite evening of the week, at least.
I get it. And my other brother, Jason Sanchez-Bukowski, bro. How's it going?
Woo! Like I was telling you guys right before we hit go, it has been an insane day. But I am so happy to be sitting here in front of this mic talking to you guys.
I'm excited too. Well, let's get into it. Our guest is somebody we've been wanting to talk to for a while. This is Kelly Green. She's an author. She is the manager for Behold the Beloved. And she also has a ministry herself called, Beloved Women or something?
My Beloved.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
Kelly, how's it going? Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. We're having a great, great day and a great evening, and I'm really glad to be here.
Why don't you tell us a little about yourself and about the My Beloved ministry and your book and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Kelly Green. For those that do not know me, I am the manager for Behold the Beloved. If you do not know them, you need to go check them out for sure. But if you're listening here, then I'm assuming you know that who they are. So I am the manager for them and book all their shows, do all the administrative aspects of that, and then run merch as well. So if you have been to a show, you have most likely seen me either at the merch table, or you have seen me running around filming in the front when they're on, and just have a really fun time with that. We also have a women's ministry called My Beloved. And so that really started a few years ago. Again, I'm at the merch table. That's where we meet our people. That's where we can talk and pray with them. And I was just making all these different connections with women, keeping in contact with them outside of shows, when they would come to shows, and just really felt led that we should start a women's ministry. And it's been pretty incredible. That started in 2022, and we do book studies, we do retreats, and we do Bible studies. And then I just put a lot of encouragement on our Facebook and Instagram page. And speaking of retreats, I just got off our annual retreat from this weekend. So I was just telling some of the guys here how much fun it was, but how tired I am, because we don't like to go to bed at a good time. So we're just chatting with each other, and we're just having a whole bunch of fun. And then the last aspect of that is I am an author. I wrote a book, and it came out September 13th called All That Remains. And that part for me is super surreal, because I've kind of been in the background. I'm not, but I am. My husband is typically in the forefront. Everybody wants to see him. Everybody wants to talk to the band. And I'm always really, really good with that. And so I've kind of made that shift to the front now. And it's really amazing and fun, but it was a little scary at first, just because I'm not used to that. But that's kind of me in a nutshell. And yeah, I'm going to head it back to you guys.
So tell us a little bit about, if you don't mind, your testimony. Like, how did you come to know who Christ is?
Yeah, so I would have grown up, parents ended up splitting whenever I was probably like 6 or 7. So I lived with my mom for probably up until like the end of middle school. So we would go to like a Methodist church and whatnot. Made the move with my dad, and his second wife, through, I guess it would have been 8th grade to 12th grade. And so whenever I made that shift and move, I would have started going to a church. down in the area that we live. And I actually needed a ride because my dad did not want to take me to church. And so my husband, Sean, he would pick me and some other kids up and take them to youth group. And so again, I had been going to the Methodist church. I had been confirmed. I had gone through all the classes and kind of done all the things. I love to learn. I love knowledge. And so it was really great, but it wasn't true relationship. And so whenever I was down at this other church, that is when I decided, you know what? Home life was a little rough, which I talk about that in the book. Home life was a little rough. And I remember going to a lock-in over New Year's Eve. And so we were doing games and everything, but we were doing worship. And I just remember walking in there, like extremely weighed down, extremely bogged down, with just some home life things that were just not great. And I just remember, I can't even remember what song it was, but just praying and you know, asking the Lord, Lord, I know you're there, and just kind of going through those motions. And I just remember hearing like, give it to me, give it to me. I can't, no, just give it to me. And so we're kind of going back and forth through all the songs. I'm in the back row sobbing, and everything. And then finally, I just remember releasing, deciding, you know what? I'm going to make that step and I'm going to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I just remember feeling like somebody had come hugged me, like a warm squeeze. That's probably the best way that I can describe it. And just feeling like I had been weighed down, almost like rocks in a book bag. And then that somebody had just taken that weight completely off of me. I don't know how to explain it other than the Holy Spirit. And so that was really when I would have been 15 at that point, when I made that decision to follow the Lord. And obviously, I don't get it right all the time. And there was a lot of roller coasters up and down throughout my life. But I can 100% say that no matter what, I was never alone, and the Lord was always has always been there for me through really, really hard times. Even if I don't want to hear him, he's always there.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us how has that, so obviously after you got saved, after most people get saved, that leads into, the fruit of the Spirit being more active and they're being activated in their life. These, you have the desire to do things for God and obviously do ministries. So with the several different ministries like writing your book with My Beloved and Behold the Beloved, how did you get started in with doing each of those? So with writing, with your ministry, My Beloved, and then obviously the band.
So with writing, I've always been a writer. I can't remember exactly when. It was always a really good outlet for me to process things. I'm a really slow internal processor. It takes me a really long time to understand how I feel, partly because I do have trauma, honestly, and that kind of plays into it. So I've always been a writer. I've always been able to express my feelings, probably better than in speaking, honestly. Even now, I feel like I can write a lot better to depict how the things that I want to say and the thing how I want to say it. And then really how I got started with the band is, I mean, I met Sean when I was 15 years old and didn't start dating till I was 16 officially, because there's a couple years age difference, wouldn't really have been appropriate. And we actually got married. Yeah, so we would have got married, dated all through high school for me. Got engaged when I was 18 and got married when I was 19. So he had always been very musically inclined, and I always encouraged him to, you know, facilitate that in some sort of way. And I just remember when they were starting the band and everything, and I always just like to help in any way that I can. My husband, I just wanted to help, and I do love people, and so it just felt like a natural step just to step in. Hey, we're gonna get merch. I'll be at the table, meet the people, love to hear people's stories. And then when things kind of started rolling, more so, I want to say around 2018, 2019 is when I really stepped into that role as like management, just to kind of honestly, like I loved it, but to alleviate some stress from Sean, because at this point, like he works a full-time job. He still works a full-time job. I was around that time our son would have been born, about a year to 2 years old, I guess, at that point. And yeah, it was just like a natural step. And then a few years later, in 2022, is when I was really starting to see that need for the My Beloved again. I would have women come up to me, and we're just talking, and we're sharing each other's stories. I'm praying with them, but then for me, I can't just I can't just go to a show, and be like, okay, like we had this really intense conversation and I'm praying with you, we're crying, and then just never see you again. So I'd be like, hey, like shoot me either an email, find me on Facebook. I don't think I had Instagram at that point. Find me on Facebook, and we would just keep in contact. And it was a really beautiful thing that had been going on. And then I also had noticed that a lot of the same women would come to the same shows. And so then they were connecting and we were connecting. And it just was kind of this really amazing natural progression to make some sort of community, because there was nothing there, not that I know of. If there is, I still don't know about it. And so it's been really incredible to see that flourish into what it is now.
So tell us about this book that you're writing. Like, how did you get into being an author?
So this is the book. I actually have it right here for all those that want to see it. And so again, I had been a writer for many years, and just I kind of started sharing like more and more on Facebook. I have a Substack, and Sean said, "Kelly, you could write a book." No, I can't. "Kelly, you can write a book. You should write a book." No, I can't. And this back and forth went on and on for about a few years until last year, in 2024, the end of 2024 into 2025 is when I started writing it. And it just kind of flowed. It was very therapeutic for me, very healing. And obviously, I did not put some of the stuff that I first put in. It needed to be like severely edited. I was like, I don't think I can. You can't put quite everything in there. But it just, yeah, it just kind of came about like that, where just sharing different things. I had started really small, sharing stuff on Facebook, sharing things on my personal page, writing things for My Beloved. And then it just kind of has grown into this. And now I can say that I'm an author, which is still blows my mind. Honestly, it's still surreal after months that after this book is already released.
What's the reaction that you've been hearing so far to your book?
Reaction has been incredible. We actually had put it out at Uprise here in Pennsylvania. So for those of you that don't know, Uprise Festival, it's a big festival in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. And so we're about a little over an hour away, so it feels like a hometown show for the band. And we thought, what a perfect time to put this out. We'd have a good amount of people there. We'd have incredible support. All of our people would just, I would hope, would come around, and like it just would be a really good opportunity. And so I just, of course, like I hope it's like, oh, I hope somebody wants it. And if not, if it only affects one person, that's totally fine. I was more than satisfied with that. But this specific thing that happened at Uprise is I had been selling books. I'm selling merch there with Kara, who is Tim's wife. So she always comes and she helps me, and she's incredible. I don't know how I would do it without her, and I especially don't know how I would have done it without her that day, because I had my own personal line of people wanting to talk to me and people wanting me to sign their book and just chat with them. So kudos to Kara. I know she's not on Facebook, but I'm just going to shout her out. But one specific thing on that day really stuck out to me. I had a girl, and this was not a chance encounter, because she came, bought the book, we kind of chatted a little bit, and then, or actually no, we didn't even chat. She went away. Hours later, she came back and she's in tears. And I'm like, oh my goodness, are you okay? Like, what's going on? I thought she was there for the band. or to talk with, for us to pray with her and not for me. And so she's telling me, she's like, I wasn't even supposed to be here. I was supposed to come with a friend. I didn't want to come by myself. And she had like wandered all the way down from main stage down to the rock star stage, which if you've ever been at Uprise, for those that know, it's like main stage is here. Rock star is like at the other end of the fairgrounds. It's a little bit of a hike, I'm not gonna lie. So for her to just like wander down wasn't really coincidentally, like it's pretty intentional. And so she told me that she wasn't even supposed to be here. She doesn't typically listen to this kind of music, and so she was just kind of burning some time, walking around, and then she saw my book and something struck her, and then she had started reading it. And she was only a few pages in, like a chapter or two in, and she's just crying. She's like, I've never felt more seen and more validated. And to me, I was just like, if this is the only person that says that, it was worth it. And so I've had a lot of those messages, very similar, whether it's through like a text or a message or email or in person. And it has made all of the writing process, editing process, and even just some of the things that I've walked through, it has made it all worth it. And I had just, that's probably the best way that I can put it. And that exchange just, it was incredible. That's the only way I can put it at this point.
So I gotta tell you, my daughter, who is 17, huge book nerd. Like, she reads so many books, it's crazy. I told her that we were gonna be talking to an author tonight, and she absolutely wants to get your book and read it. And she wants to know, when we order it, will you sign it for her?
Well, if you order it, so you can get it on Barnes and Noble or Amazon, or I can just send you one, because I wouldn't be able to sign it through the Amazon. But yeah, I can absolutely sign it for her. I would love that. It's my favorite part. I love to pray about what I'm going to write in the book and then send it off with with them or in the moment. So I would love to do that. That would be incredible.
Awesome. Yeah,
Yeah.
she was all excited. She's like, "You're gonna actually talk to an author?" I'm like, "Yes, we are.
Oh,
Can I
I
get
love
one of her
that.
books?"
Oh my goodness, I love that. Yeah, I don't want to show you behind me because it's a little bit of a mess, but I used to actually work in a Christian bookstore. And so when that actually closed down, I got some of the bookshelves. So they're like 9 feet tall by like 4 feet wide. And I've like run out of room. They're all filled with books. I love to read so much. I read like 4 to 5 books at a time. I just can't get enough. So I can definitely appreciate another reader as well. But yeah, I will definitely get one to her and sign it. I would love to do that.
Awesome. Yeah, just let me know how to get it, and I'll take care of it for her.
Yeah, sounds great. That would be amazing.
So you mentioned you just got back from a women's conference, right?
The women's retreat. So
Women's
we,
retreat.
yes.
So you said that's an annual thing.
Yeah, so this would have been the fourth one, our
Okay.
fourth annual retreat. Yep.
So tell us a little bit about that. It's goals, purposes, the speakers that you have, the kind of I don't know if it's like a series of sermons or classes or whatever, but
Yeah, so part of what we do is I offer in the fall, it's like summer, starts in summer, like August, but into the fall, we do a book study. And then all who want, they can just do the book study or they can do like a book study and the retreat. And so really what the goal is to, this year we did Every Woman a Theologian by Felicia Masonheimer, a little bit different book than what we typically do, but I felt it really, it needed to be done, had a lot of really foundational things like doctrine of scripture, about Holy Spirit, end times, salvation, just 8 chapters, incredibly foundational things because not unfortunately, but we meet a lot of different people. Some either have just become a believer, some have maybe been a believer for a while, but they don't know some of these things, and that's okay. But I love like biblical literacy, knowing how to read the Bible and understanding it, because context matters. We can't just like cut verses out of the script, out of the Bible, and fit it to our narrative. We have to understand that. And so that's kind of part of it. And just really understanding these foundational principles of our faith and of Christianity. And so we did that book this year. And so kind of the heart behind doing the book study and the retreat is we do it over Zoom because a lot of us are so widespread. I mean, I just in this year, I had one person in Maine. We had a couple in West Virginia, and then there were some of us like all spread out through Pennsylvania. So like we're more eastern Pennsylvania, closer to Philly, but then I had a lot of like western Pennsylvania girls that do it. We've had from Michigan before too. I actually had two girls from Michigan a couple years ago drive about 8 or 9 hours to the retreat, which I just like blew my mind and was incredible. So the heart is that when we meet on Zoom, you get rapport, you're getting community, and you're kind of going through this book with one another. And then when you get to the retreat, we always do it in the Poconos, in Pennsylvania. And so you arrive on a Friday, you leave on a Sunday, and it's just really a time to be together. But then we go over the book, and kind of some of the things that we learned. And I usually just do one session, and then the rest is just hanging out, being together, and just being able to spend that really good quality time. Because again, we're all really widespread and we don't have that opportunity to meet each week. And so again, this book is a little bit different than like what we typically do. And it was incredible. It was more me teaching each week because it's theological principles. So you can't just show up and be like, okay, I'm just gonna lead it like really easily. But yeah, that's typically the structure for the retreats. There's a lot of fun, and then just like a little bit of like recap just from everything that we had been learning between, I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks previously.
You mentioned biblical literacy is, you put a heavy focus on biblical literacy and teaching people how to be biblically literate. What is your favorite method of equipping people, equipping women to be more literate biblically, how to understand scripture?
So I would say, oh, this is really terrible because I can't remember what it is, but
Yeah,
it was
it's okay.
Women in the Word, like it's by Jen Wilkin, Women in the Word. It's a really short book. Yeah, I'm completely blanking at the moment. I do
It's okay. Don't worry
apologize.
about it.
Yeah, my brain's still, to be fair, we were up at till on like Saturday into Sunday, we were up to 4:30 praying over one another. And I had to wake up at like 8 o'clock. So yeah, I didn't get much sleep. And I'm still catching up on sleep. 100% worth it and amazing. But yeah, it was a little, my brain is still not fully functioning. And if any of my girls are watching, I love you guys so much. But yeah, I definitely need some more sleep. But yeah, the Women of the Word book by Jen Wilkin, whatever that method is usually what I go to, because it's really palatable and really easy.
It's funny you should talk about women's retreats. I was just talking about that with my wife. She was asking, like, why do guys, when they go to their like men's retreat, they go out, they get this amazing food, they go out, they're shooting guns, they're riding bikes, they're walking trails, they're out playing cards all night, and they're just like digging in how to like lead a home. When women go, it's all about how women can be better wives to their husband and how to be soft and dainty. And she's like, I want to go out and shoot guns. I was just like,
Well,
that sounds
listen,
about right.
we have great food. So we literally have like a chocolate fondue thing that we had all sorts of fun stuff. We wanted to go out where we were, but there was a bear, so I'm good to not get mauled by
Jason,
the
I don't remember the chocolate fondue fountain at our retreat a couple weeks
We
ago.
didn't have
I don't
one,
where
no.
yeah, I don't know what happened, but
Listen, one of my best friends, she comes and helps me, and she has a catering background. So yeah, we eat really, really good. I'm just like, hey, can you help me? Because this is not my area at all. And she plans out the menu, and it's incredible. We have such a good time. But yeah, I don't know. She should start her own. She could do her own women's retreat. That's what I did. I didn't really care for some of the ones that were, we'll just say that they're fluffy. And I didn't really care for that. And so you don't have to. You can just kind of do it however you want. And I really empower each and every woman that if they don't like something, then they should start something and do it the way that they want to do it and get those other women in that want something like that and invite them in because that right there, that's where the relationships are going to grow. And if you do that, then you're going to have really good community.
So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell my wife she needs to go start her own retreat, invite you.
I will not shoot a gun, but I will come. I could come. I don't mind.
And
Just
I got to
run.
tell you, we got a ton of people watching right now. Our good friend Kira, she's watching right now. She says, you sound like her type of girl. And we got, let's see, Raymond Apec, he says, hey everyone. Rob Lowe says, hey everyone, how you doing? And we have Raymond McFarland. He says, hey everyone, he's new to the podcast. So hello everyone. If you got a
Awesome.
question for Kelly, go ahead and drop it in any one of the chats and we will ask Kelly or whatever. And Ray says he is a oh. He says he is a Christian, and well, we're glad who Christ is, honestly. So go ahead and ask a question, and we will toss it over to Kelly and see if we can confuse her and make her cry.
I don't cry. I don't cry easily.
Challenge
You'll
accepted. Nice.
probably make me cry first. I cry pretty easily, so.
Yeah, I don't cry.
He
I don't
does.
cry easily.
No, I like
So.
the mindset behind what you're doing with the women's retreat. Obviously, we're not the target demographic for your specific ministry, but the mindset goes hand in hand. We should all be having that kind of mindset when approaching ministry. So, sorry, I think I cut you off, Jeremy. You go ahead. I just
That's all good. That's all good. So I know you guys have had a big year. I mean, Behold the Beloved started a new record label this year. What can you tell me about that?
Well, so yes, so it's Sean and I. We
Right.
have Eternal Echoes. So we started that, it would have been last year. We started Eternal Echoes last year. And so just really what that is it's a promotional label. Right now we have one band on, which you know them, from Ravens to Doves. Shout out to our guys and them. They are incredible. I love them so much.
And you got Katie
Just the most.
Slater.
Yes, and Katie, yes. Yeah, can't forget her. I love her as well. So yeah, basically, so sorry, my throat, I'm like talking too much and I did not grab any water. Basically, just what the basis is with that is, and how that started. We were having a lot of people come to us, and me specifically because of some of the things that I do for the band. I mean, we are always happy to answer questions, but I was having like phone calls, like hour long phone calls, and like taking into time. And this is something that Sean and I had been praying about for a pretty long time, and we just had been seeing some different things, and we were like, oh man, I wish they wouldn't have done it, done that. I wish they wouldn't have gone, to this place and dropped a whole bunch of money and it doesn't serve them. Because I hate that because it's just like, it's just really frustrating. And just from our experience and not wanting people to waste their time, especially when, as you know, there's not that much money in music, especially Christian rock. If we're just being completely honest. And so I hate to see people being taken advantage of. That, oh, if you want to make it, you have to go down to Nashville and you have to do all this stuff. And I'm like, but you don't have to do that. And you can have really good merch and you can have these really incredible, like you can build an incredible ministry. And so really what the heart is behind it is we're walking with them, almost kind of like discipleship in a way, but we do not want it to be a forever thing. So like from Ravens to Doves, they're on for probably about maybe another year, and then that's it. Like we're really empowering them to fly out on their own, like literally as doves, to fly out on their own and give them the tools so that they can succeed. Because I'm telling you what, we did a festival in New York with them. And it was Signal Boost Festival, so shout out to them. And that was like their first festival. And when they went up and they performed, Sean and I are standing on the sidelines, and I'm like, these are my babies. They're up there. They're doing an incredible job. Like, I felt like a proud mom. I was like, you guys did so amazing. And then I drove out. They did like a short like run. Part of it was in Wisconsin. They were in Michigan, and then they were in Ohio. And so my son and I was just like, hey, why don't we drive out to Ohio? It's just a little over 5 hours. Drove out to Ohio, and I got to see them. And I was like, I'm so proud of you guys. This is incredible. And so that's been extremely rewarding just to see the fruit of that, and that they are succeeding because we're walking beside them, we're helping give them the tools. And honestly, like, I wish we would have had that when we were starting. And that is probably part of that is also the heart behind it, is what were some of the things that, like, when we as well them, but we as a band were starting out, what would we wish we had, essentially?
So we had them on, what was it, Jeremy, 2 years ago? A
Something
year and
like
a
that,
half
yeah.
ago? Yeah, we had them on. They had just released their song, Addicted. It
Yes.
was such a great song.
Yeah.
And we actually need to have them back on. Like,
Yeah.
I think they sent us a new song. I'll have to look, maybe not.
It's probably it might be, is it Sleeping, not Sleeping Giants? I don't know. That's terrible. Again,
Yes,
I'm telling you.
Sleeping Giants,
Okay, I was
yes.
like, my brain, I have a lot of stuff in my I have to go through all
Yes.
my Rolodex of what I'm looking for.
Yes. So yeah, like their music is fantastic. We need to have them back on. But we do have a couple of questions. Kira says, other than your husband's band, what is your favorite rock song?
Rock song. Ooh.
Well, Christian
Or
rock song,
oh
whatever.
goodness, Kira, you're killing me. Why do you make me pick?
Hey, she's here to ask the tough
I
questions.
know. You won't make me cry with that one. I'm trying to think of, because I don't like, I listen to rock. I love rock. Don't get me wrong. I do. Like, I started out, I mean, before I was a believer, I listened to, like, my first concert that my dad took me to was Kansas. So, like, got them roots. But I didn't listen to a whole bunch of like Christian music growing up. But besides their band, I mean, I can't name a specific song, but I love Relentless Flood. I love them. Maybe it's just because they're some good friends of ours, and they're incredible people too. So pretty much, I don't know, any of their songs are pretty good. Love listening to them.
Yeah, Kira, that was a very good question. Unfortunately, we do have to dock a point away from you for saying "Yay, Ohio" in the live chat. That's one strike, okay?
Uh-oh, what happens? What happens when you get three?
Three strikes, it's not good. So just
Being Michigan guys, we cannot like
you
Ohio.
tell her from Michigan.
Unfortunately
Well, I don't necessarily care for Ohio because it takes forever to get through there. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I'm like, when is this state going to ever end? So that's
There's so
always my
many
gripe with
reasons. It's
Ohio.
always the smell for me.
It's a smell.
Yeah,
What's the smell?
I'm
Oh,
just
well, no, I'm asking because literally we live in, like, so it's Lancaster County. We live in farmland. So I'm just like, it can't be worse than that, than farm.
No,
No,
we like to joke and say
this is what you
that's
get.
okay. I can tell it went over my head.
It's all right.
Kira says fine, she's moving.
Yes, move to Michigan, Kara.
Highly recommend it.
That's funny.
So
That's funny.
let's talk a little bit more about your book.
Yeah, for
Yes,
sure.
like that's why we
I
Kara
know,
says
right?
she's on
Hey.
her way to Michigan. So anyway, so talk about the book. Like, what can
Yeah.
you tell us about it? How, like, when my daughter gets it, what can she expect?
Yeah, so think kind of, it's not memoir, so I don't want to say memoir, but think like a little bit of like my story mixed in, like kind of Christian living aspect. I have a couple reflection questions afterwards with verses, and so it is really great for small group. Actually, I have somebody through our church that is doing it as a small group, which just warms my heart so much, and I never expected that. And so it just really kind of weaves my story in there, how the Lord showed up, and just how, yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. But I do want to say one of the overarching themes in this is that joy and grief can coexist together. And I have seen that through pretty much every chapter in my life. I've seen it a lot this year, to be perfectly honest, when I'm writing the book. And I really do. It's like, okay, I'm writing this book. Do I actually believe that joy and grief can coexist? Because we came home from a festival and then a day later our house flooded. And I'm not just talking like a little bit of water. We're talking like 3.5 feet in my basement, because the creek came over, and completely flooded everything. So there's that. And we've had a lot of death. I've had about 3 deaths in within the span of like 2 months. And so I'm having these moments, and it's really forcing me to reconcile. Do I actually believe what I'm saying? So the lip service I'm getting, am I walking that out? And yeah, in the moment, it's really, really tough. I'm not gonna lie. And I'm a pretty seasoned believer, and I can only take so much. But I always go back to the Lord is always so good, and He's always so kind, and faithful to me. And that is what has sustained me through every hard season of my life. So, just kind of expecting that. And what I really hope she gets is I hope she's encouraged. I hope everybody that reads it is honestly encouraged. And it doesn't matter, what part of your story is, God can use you. He can use that heartache for His glory every time. So, whether you think your story might disqualify you, it doesn't. Whether you think your story, it's too much for somebody, it's not. I just to share a little bit, and I know I did send Jeremy a copy. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, but I know sometimes the things that you post, I can really identify with, because at this point, I have been no contact probably the longest with my father for 4 years. And this is something that is not talked about a whole lot, I do think, within the church. I think it is something that people are starting to talk about. And so when I kind of say these things, people are like, oh, what do you mean? What do you mean you're no contact? And it's like, you don't understand, because we've done this back and forth, back and forth, and nothing has ever resolved. And at the end of the day, it's extremely toxic and it's extremely unhealthy. And I didn't want that for my son. I didn't want what I experienced as a child. And even honestly, up until probably 4 years ago, I didn't want my child to experience that, and I was willing to do about anything to eliminate that. And so at that point in my life, I had gone no contact. I'd come back because I'd feel guilty, no contact, come back because I feel guilty. And then something just flipped, and it was just, no, I'm not doing this anymore. And when I tell you, similarly to whenever I chose to follow the Lord, that weight that had literally been crushing me, it was lifted off of me. And I believe that was, Holy Spirit giving me confirmation that this was a necessary thing. And so I talk a lot, kind of in the beginning, how that relationship honestly informs how I view the Lord. Because you think God the Father, earthly father, okay, well, this one's not a good guy. And then you equate the Lord, God our Father, as not being a good guy. This one is all about himself. This one is all about himself. So it's really like having to reframe my mind, rewire my brain after having complex trauma. I want to say from the time I was born up until now. I could go on and on and talk about that, because it's just such a necessary topic that I think a lot of people, they're either scared to talk about it, or they just don't know how to talk about it and have that conversation. And so this is hopefully maybe helping it. I don't know. Maybe it's going to help somebody have that conversation.
I will say it is a tough subject. I'm only 2 years into it, and it's really hard. You know, I don't talk to my dad or my stepmom, or literally anybody on that side of the family. You know, and it's hard because I have a daughter who sees them every now and then, and I want to be like, you know, don't go, but you know, because I want to shield her from the same thing, but she doesn't live with me all the time, and you know, I have a son that you've met, Maverick, and you know,
Sweetie pie.
he's five, and we just it was more to protect him because we have him all the time, you know. I mean, much as I want to protect my daughter, it just sucks, and it's hard. It's incredibly hard.
And I do want to just say for anybody that is watching this or anybody that has watched this, the thing that I'm about to say, I had known a lot like throughout the years. I talked a lot about like my dad. I know he's a narcissist. There's some mental illness, undiagnosed mental illness that he re I believe he refuses to acknowledge. He doesn't believe in mental health like that. But one of the main things that has helped me so much is going to therapy. I started in January of this year. And so even going to a therapist has a stigma, but I really don't care if somebody wants to say something, okay. But just going to somebody and talking with them, they didn't tell me anything new. They basically just reaffirmed everything that I had said. The only thing that they had said that was probably new is saying, you know, I think you have some complex trauma. And I think that validated me more than anything. And it really started the healing process. And so just as an encouragement, if you are walking through something really difficult, and even if you're not walking through something really difficult and you feel like you need to go to therapy, please go. There are so many benefits. And I don't know if your church does this, but I know ours does, that if you can't afford it, they will help shoulder that cost. And there are so many different organizations out there that would love to help. I would love so many people, be able to be healed, to be able to be free, and to not be weighed down by some of these things that they are having to walk around with. And so that is really my hope and encouragement for so many people.
I think it's really good to broach those subjects, like what Jeremy was saying. I think it's also like good to be able to like affirm someone who really doesn't know where to go, even though there's something that they should be doing. But it's also good to show healthy ways of doing that, because I think there's a lot of people who are way too ready to just cut ties and just leave, rather than making like it shouldn't be our first option. And if it's the right option, then eventually you should take that step. But there are people who are just way too ready. And then on the other side of it, like what you were talking about, like with someone who I'm working with right now, this person, like you, kind of doesn't know when to take that step
Yes.
and keep getting hurt real bad. And it's really hard
Yes.
to watch.
It is.
And so it's like, do I want to, for me, trying to be someone who can give right advice, I can be hesitant to say you need to take a step away from them. 'Cause it's like, wow, I don't want them to just cut ties and leave it and let that fester inside and get worse or whatever. But I also don't want to see them continue to get hurt. So yeah, it's a good conversation to have.
Yeah, it's really a fine line, and for me, something that helped, I mean, I prayed about it for a long time. It really ate at me specifically, like with this relationship, which is why when I said I was going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth quite a bit, where I would take a couple months off. And I mean, at this point, we had been married for many years, and I knew it was unhealthy. And I think once Luca, our son, was in the picture, it really changed and shifted for me, where I was like, yeah, I don't play when it comes to my kid. I don't want what I had to experience. I don't want him to experience that, because one of the chapters and just part of our story is we went through infertility, and the things that was a really dark time in my life, and the things that, you know, I had to do and had to go through to get him. I want nothing to touch him. I just even and even if we didn't have to do that, and so I think even more, and just the way that I had like a complicated birth, and then he had a NICU stay, and there's all of these things, and when I look at this child, he is pure joy, and I want nothing in as much capacity as possible. I want nothing to put his light out, and this person, my father specifically, would and has. And so I think that was really a defining moment for me when he was getting kind of age to understand a little more. And I was just like, yeah, we're not going to go through this. And so it does make it easier that he doesn't live in the same state as we do. And I'm able to really just really put up those boundaries. And I made it known and that I was pretty much done. So, just to give a little piece of advice, I would just continue to pray about that and continue to pray about that with that person, and what's right for them. A really, really good book, is Boundaries by Henry Cloud or St. Cloud. Another one is When to Walk Away by Gary. I think it's Gary Chapman. Is it Gary Chapman? I don't know. I'm looking on my shelf as I'm telling you. So I'm a reader and I read a lot of books, and I feel like I did so many things before I finally made that point to walk away. And one of the things is, difficult people are not the same as toxic people. We can love difficult people, but toxic people, it's not the same, because Jesus dealt with difficult people, and he was still able to love them. So it's the toxic and difficult are not the same.
Amen to that. Yep. And I got to tell you, Kira says that you're very self-aware and wise, and she absolutely loves you.
Oh, thank you, Kira. You're
And
so
she
sweet,
said,
even though
Amen,
you live in
sister.
Ohio.
That's right, Kira. And real quick, I want to apologize to the people watching on Facebook. Like, my internet is so wonky right now. Like, YouTube is running fine, Twitch is running fine. Facebook keeps dropping and picking up. It's my internet, so I apologize to all of you, and I apologize to you, Kelly.
That's okay. They'll just have to go back and like rewatch
Yes.
See?
See, wise beyond our ears. So what comes next for you? You've got this amazing book that's out that I can't wait to read. I can't wait for my
I
daughter
can't
to
wait for
read it.
you to read it.
So what comes next?
Well, what comes next? I'm currently writing my second book, so yay. That's been pretty cool. And just again have been pretty busy within that, within a lot of our shows. And so really what's next is coming up on that rest season, and I'm really taking like the necessary time to rest and recharge, because we don't really have too many shows the rest of the year. We have more private events for the band, so we're not gone weekends, and then I have to like recharge during the week. And so I will be able to focus on writing my second book, be able to focus on just like family and between Sean and Luca and myself, and just have like the really fun part, but also looking for next year, for always looking to next year for the band, for My Beloved, for Eternal Echoes, as well. But really, probably the most immediate thing is rest, and just honestly like being in prayer and asking the Lord what's next, because Kelly can think of a lot of things that she wants to do, but that doesn't mean it's the right timing. It doesn't mean it's right now. I have a lot of dreams and aspirations, but I always have to wait on the Lord, because a lot of times he's like, whoa, Kel, stop. You can't be doing that yet. And we're not quite ready for that. So right now, the most immediate thing, I guess, would be rest and writing my second book, which I am immensely excited for.
Very nice. And I would love to ask you what that book's about, but I don't want to ruin the surprise for everyone.
Yeah, I'm gonna hold off, but it will be more about, we'll just say it's about the unseen work. We'll just say it's about that, about the unseen work.
It's material for next time we have you on.
Yes.
Yes.
See, you get it,
Yes.
promotional brain, you get it. Yeah, you get
It
it.
was something
Love
that
it.
you. I'm sorry, go ahead, finish.
No, I said I love it.
Something you said earlier reminded me of a verse from Paul when you were saying, you can have that joy and that pain at the same time. Paul said many times you have to find joy in your suffering. Like there's, so I mean, I think that's good for anyone to realize, even in the worst of times, you can look at it and say, God ordained this. God is trying to teach me something, and then thank him for it all the way through until he brings you out of it. And then you're like, ah, thank you for that.
And Paul is an expert because that man went through so
I had
much.
the exact same thought. He is
I
he's a
mean,
pro.
he is a pro. Like anything he says, I'm like, cool, I'm gonna just follow your suit because you have it better than I do. You have a little bit more insight than I do. I do want to just pivot off one thing you said about that is I have started years ago at this point through some of these things. I had started to ask myself, even when it's going through really hard times, I always ask, like, okay, God, like, how are you going to use this for your glory? And that's what I always go back to. Okay, God, how are you going to use this for your glory? Because obviously, like, there's something within this. And every single time, I've walked through something incredibly heavy, like when we were walking through infertility, eventually getting pregnant and everything and going through that, I would start to make infertility like care packages for people that I'd come in contact with and meet. Started doing that. When Luca was in the NICU for about a month, I made NICU care packages for people. So the things that like I walked through and I was like, hey, this is really what I needed. Nobody was doing it for me. But I'm able to do that for somebody else because I personally experienced that. And so I think that is really the beautiful thing that when you are walking through something, you can ask God that question and he's going to answer you. And he will show you, he will bring those people, he will give you the opportunities. All you have to do is ask him. He is right there waiting.
Amen to that. Yes. Well, Kelly, unfortunately, we're quickly running out of time here.
It's all good.
So I'm gonna give the guys one more opportunity. Guys, Riker, Jeremy, you guys have any other questions you have before we go into prayer?
I really don't.
All right. So, Kelly, one thing that we absolutely love to do on this show is to pray for our guests, and we do pray for you. We have a thread in our chat group, between Riker, Jeremy, my daughter, and myself, and we pray for each and every one of our guests daily. How can we be praying for you?
So just what I said, you can be praying for that rest. When I was at the women's retreat, one of my best friend prayed, and we were again praying up to 4:30 in the morning. And just like allowing the Holy Spirit to move, and the word abide came up, and that this next season, I really need to abide in him. I need to listen really closely for his voice as to what I'm going to do next within my next book, and within the next year and 2 years for my beloved specifically, because there are a lot of different things that I have in mind, and I need to make sure I don't get ahead of myself because I just want to do them all. So, I would be really, really grateful for that. I've already started that process today. I would be grateful if y'all could be praying with me and standing with me for that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and close this out in prayer.
Okay.
Great and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Kelly and her ministry, Lord. I just ask that you bless her, bless all that she does, Lord. Just put a hedge of protection around her and around her marriage. Lord, I ask that you just help her to continue to abide in you, just listen and watch for what you want her to do. Lord, I ask you guide her in this second book because we all know that it's not her words, it's yours. Lord, bless her, give her the right words to say. Lord, just bless her ministry, the My Beloved ministry. Lord, just watch over it, guide it, You know where you want her to go with it, what you want her to do with it. So, Lord, just help her to be honoring to you, to be faithful to you, and do all that you need. And, Lord, she's been so busy. Give her a period of rest. Give her the rest that she needs so she's recharged and refreshed to just get out there and do your will. I thank you so much for Kelly. I thank you for all that she does. I thank you for her husband and the band. Lord, just watch over all of them. Continue to bless them. We are so grateful for them. And Lord, above all else, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kelly. This has been fantastic. Like, we never know how it's going to go because we get musicians on here. We're like, all right, we're going to talk about music. We're good to go. So
No,
this has been
I was gonna say
fantastic.
I appreciate it too. Kind of my first like couple times on this as well, so it's all new for me as well. It's perfect.
Well, you were awesome. We
Thank you.
appreciate you. Jeremy Riker, love it, bros. Ah, love this.
I missed it last week. Glad to be back.
Yes, I'm glad to have you back. And for those watching and listening, I thank you so much for joining us tonight and for joining in on the chat. For those watching on Facebook, again, I apologize. Hopefully, next week, my internet will be better. I don't know what was going on with it tonight. But I just remind each and every one of you that if you're gonna rock, rock for him. Have a good night.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below, and don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're gonna rock, rock for him.
Tune in next week as we talk to the man, myth, the legend, Nate Parrish.